John chapter 14. This afternoon, the Lord willing, 2:30, I'll be preaching a message on secret things that God responds to publicly. Secrets that God responds to publicly. And I'm going to talk about three things, Lord willing, this afternoon. Three things that people do in secret that God responds to publicly. And I encourage you to be here today. I think it will be an encouragement to you and a help to you. But this morning, John chapter 14. Beginning at verse 1, the Bible says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for the wonderful freedom that we have to be in your house today, to worship you without any fear of man. Thank you for the desire that you put in our hearts to be here. Thank you for the blessings that we've already enjoyed with the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ and the joy of having people visit with us in our service. And I want to thank you just in anticipation of the things that we're going to enjoy even after the service, the good meal and so forth. But we need you to meet with us in a special way now. I need you to meet with me. I'm dependent upon you, Lord. I'm glad I have you to depend upon. I realize that I am what I am by your grace. I realize, dear Lord, that anything that is accomplished this morning through the preaching of the Word, that it will be you that has blessed it. It will not be because of me. In fact, it will be you working in spite of me. I do pray that you would help the people to listen, not allowing their attention to be distracted from the message from the Word of God that you've given me for this hour. I pray that people would not only be attentive themselves, but they would be sensitive not to do anything to distract the attention of anyone around them. That no one would dare disrespect the Word of God by getting up and moving around unless it's an absolute emergency. I pray, God, that people would realize, Lord, the seriousness of such disrespect. And please, Lord, work in our hearts. May you each listen to the Word of God, not with spirits that are resisting, but with spirits that are hungry to know the truth and ready to respond to the truth. May we all determine even now, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. May we determine that we're just wanting you to speak to our hearts. And I believe if we do that, I believe, God, you'll do something in every man's life. Some things will be perhaps greater than in others, but all of us need something. And I believe you'll do that if we just come with open hearts, open minds. Please, Lord, glorify yourself. Dear Spirit of God, glorify the Lord Jesus in all that is said and done and the way we respond. Everybody said in agreement with their pastor, amen. It was on the eve of his crucifixion. Within hours, my Lord Jesus Christ would hang on the cross atop Mount Calvary. Hanging on that cross, he would die as a sinless sacrifice for the sins of the world, thereby making the salvation of us old hell-deserving sinners possible. And that's what we all are, just old hell-deserving sinners. On that night, my Lord Jesus declared to his 11 loyal disciples, Judas Iscariot, the hypocrite, the fake, the imitator, the traitor. Judas Iscariot had already departed from them whenever the Lord said these things. And so there he is on that night, the eve of his crucifixion, hours before his death. He declared to his loyal disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Whenever the Lord said, I am, those disciples, all of them Jews by their first birth, therefore being familiar with the Scriptures of the Old Testament, when the Lord said, I am, they realized that He was identifying Himself as the eternal God, the God who appeared to and spoke to Moses from the burning bush in the desert almost 1,500 years earlier. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 3. I'm not going to take time to do that this morning. But you can read there where the Lord spoke to Moses 1,500 years early approximately from that burning bush. There, whenever the Lord spoke to Moses from that burning bush, the Lord identified Himself as simply, I am that I am. Otherwise, I've never had a time when I came into being, and I never will have a time whenever I no longer cease to exist. I am that I am. He is eternal. He is transcendent. That is the God that revealed Himself to Moses. And that is who the Lord Jesus Christ revealed Himself to as every time that He spoke of Himself as I am. And He did that often. He said here, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. At other places He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water. All these things. Every time He said that, He was saying, and the Jewish audience that He was speaking to realized that He was declaring, I am the same one that spoke to Moses over 1,500 years earlier. Otherwise, He was declaring that He was Almighty and Eternal God. He was the same one that spoke to Moses with them, that was speaking with them in that room. He was declaring that He was the only God, the only true and living God, that He alone was God. They understood that whenever He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When my Lord Jesus said, I am the way, He was declaring that He and only He is the way. He was not saying, I'm one of the ways. He's not saying, I'm part of the way. You need to take and you can take me and mix some other religion with me. He's just not saying that. And so many people try to do that today. It's like, well, I'm going to take Christ, and I'm going to take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'm going to mix it all together, and I hope it all works out. I got news for you. It won't work out. It won't work out. No, He is the way. He was declaring that He and only He is the way. He is not one of many ways. He is the one and only way. Now, the environment in which my Lord ministered was one in which people acknowledged the existence of numerous gods. He was ministering there in the days of the mighty Roman Empire. And they recognized numerous gods. They even recognized some of their leaders as being gods. That's the environment in which the Lord was preaching and teaching and ministering to. An environment of polytheism. That is, people that had multiple gods. That the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ denied the existence of any god other than the triune God of whom Jesus Christ is one of the three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The fact that they denied the existence of any other gods other than the triune God of whom Jesus Christ is one of the persons, that aroused the animosity of those who followed the numerous other gods. For they realized this, they're saying their God is the only true and living God. Our gods are the figments of men's imaginations. Their God is the one that created everything. The other gods are ones that we have created. That's what these Christians are saying. And therefore, the animosity of the world was stirred against them, and they suffered greatly because they believed in only one true and living God. And may I say to you, the same is true today. The same is true today. People do not like Christianity because they say, why, you think you're better than everybody else. The truth is, no, we think we're worse than everybody else. Unless you realize that you are an old hell-deserving sinner, you can't even become a Christian. You may profess to be one, but you can't become one. Until you realize you're lost. You're lost and undone. You need a Savior. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. No, we don't think we're the best people on the face of the earth. We realize that we're just a bunch of old hell-deserving sinners. That's all we are. That's all we are. We don't think we're better than anybody else, but we do believe this with all of our hearts, that we have the only true and living God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ being one of the persons of that triune Godhead. We believe that today, and because of that, the world does not like that. Government leaders do not like that because they want to be recognized as some kind of supreme power. No, we have one God. And to acknowledge the gods of others is to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that a true disciple will not do, even if it cost him his life. He will not deny that Jesus Christ is God. That He is the only true and living God. We cannot acknowledge the existence of any other gods. And we will not at the cost of our lives. Now, when my Lord Jesus said, I am the way, and that's what I want us to focus on here this morning. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want us to focus simply on that statement He made when He said, I am the way. When the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, among other things, He meant these. Now, there's a lot of other things I could talk about, I'm sure. Some I've probably not even thought about. But there are at least three things here that I believe God would have me emphasize this morning. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, He was saying this, that He is the way to a better spiritual family. He's the way into a better spiritual family. Back a few chapters in your Bible, we're in John 14, but you can look back at John chapter 8. The Lord Jesus was speaking to a Jewish audience. Now, as Jews, they were very proud that they were descendants of Abraham. They considered Abraham as their father. They were the children of Abraham. Not necessarily the first generation, but they considered themselves as children of Abraham because Abraham was the first Jew. And so, as the Lord is speaking to these very proud descendants of Abraham, here's what takes place. Look at John chapter 8 and look at verse 32. The Lord said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that offended them, because they did not like to think that they were in bondage to anybody. And so in the next verse they answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now here's the irony of the statement. They were in bondage to the Romans at the very time they were saying they had never been in bondage to anybody. They were in bondage right then. And oh, you go out and tell people that, you know, you need the Lord, He'll set you free. They'll say, well, I'm not in bondage to anybody. Yes, you are. Outside of Jesus Christ, you're in bondage to your old sin. You're in bondage to the devil. You may deny it just as they tried to deny they were in bondage, but you are in bondage, my friend. And don't deceive yourselves. Just take what God says about it. Amen? But they said, no, sirree, we're Abraham's seed. Abraham's our father. We're not in bondage to anybody. Now, notice what the Lord says, and I'm skipping a lot for the sake of time, but you skip on over to John chapter 8 and verse 44, and here's what He says. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now notice this. We're children of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anybody. And the Lord says, no. You know something? Physically, you're descendants of Abraham. You're children of Abraham. He said, but I want to tell you what you really are spiritually, and this is what counts. You're children of the devil. You have your father, the devil. Boy, people don't like to face that, do they? Oh, no. That hurts people's self-esteem. Well, people need their self-esteem hurt a little bit. Amen? But no, He says, you're of the father, the devil. Now, I want you to understand something. It matters not what your physical heritage is. Spiritually, you're a child of the devil outside of Jesus Christ. Matters not what your physical heritage is. They had a wonderful physical heritage as descendants of Abraham. But because they were rejecting the Lord Jesus, He says, spiritually, you're children of the devil. And that's true of every man that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He is the way into a better spiritual family. Now, the devil is a sorry father. He lies to his children. That's what we're told in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 44. It talks about how he's a liar. He is a murderer, the Bible says. He encourages and entices his children to self-destruct and to destroy each other. That's what he does. He never tries to restrain you from destroying yourself or destroying others. He's always encouraging you. Drink this. Shoot this up. Snort this. Be immoral. Contract these diseases. Take down other people with you. Destroy your family. Destroy your home. He's always pushing that. Listen, why? That's his nature. And he never discourages his children from doing those things. He always encourages those things. In fact, the Bible says that he is a murderer. You know what? He rejoices when one of his children dies. The devil has never wept at the funeral of one of his children. He always rejoices whenever one of his children dies. He knows, I've got them now. They're in hell, and that's where they'll stay. I've got them. I've accomplished our purpose. The devil is a sorry, sorry father. And that's what every man, that's the family every man's in spiritually outside of Jesus Christ. But when a person repents of his sin and cries out to God to save him, he becomes a child of the only true and living God. The Bible says that he is born again. In John chapter 14, again in verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. And then at the end of that verse, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot get to the Father, that is the God the Father, outside of through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. You don't get to the Father. You don't get to Him through a church membership. You don't get to Him through a baptistry, though every Christian ought to be baptized. You don't get to the Father through baptistry. You don't get to the Father through penance. You don't get to the Father by all kinds of good works and good deeds. You don't get to the Father through anyone or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But whenever you come to God through God the Son, accepting Him as a sacrifice of your sins, repenting of those sins and accepting Him as your sacrifice, the Bible says that you are wonderfully, miraculously born into a new spiritual family. You become a part of the family of God. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says this, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Did you get that? What manner of love that is. Old Craig Holmes was a child of the devil. January the 27th, 1973, on my knees in my mother's dining room, I repented of my sin, cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him as my Savior. And I'm going to tell you what, Craig Holmes was transferred from the family of the devil to being a child of God, born into a new family there. I find it an amazing thing when the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. You know how the Lord began that lesson on prayer? It's normally what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the Lord's teaching on prayer. And here's what he said. He said, all right, when you pray, he said, here's how you begin. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you don't have a right to come to Him and say, my Father, which art in heaven. Uh-uh. You have no right to do that. But He taught His disciples to say that. What a wonderful thing it is to kneel before the throne of grace and say, Heavenly Father, I'm here again. How wonderful it is to be able to come before God and address Him as my Father. You know what that means? That means that whenever that we're saved, that now we know the Lord is our Savior, we become brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, I like to be a part of a church where that the men call each other brother. Don't you? I like that. Brother Scott, Brother Terry, Brother Fleming, Brother Grady. I like that. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. I thought about old Saul of Tarsus. You familiar with the story of Saul of Tarsus, I trust? Here he was out persecuting the church. He was a religious man, but he was seeking to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Killing Christians, consenting to the death, to the stoning of Stephen, one of the first deacons. On his way from Jerusalem, with permission from the religious hierarchy, to go over to Damascus where Christians had fled for their lives and destroy them. By the way, do you realize this? That religion has killed more Christians than anything else on the face of this earth. That's right. Christians have died at the hands of religionists more than any other way. And many times it's been in religions that profess to be Christian. But they've killed the true Christians. Saul of Tarsus was a religious man. He had consented to the death of Christians on his way to kill and persecute others and try to torture them into renouncing their faith. But on the way to Damascus, lo and behold, the Lord Jesus Christ appears to him miraculously in all of his glory. The old Saul of Tarsus was gloriously saved right there on the road to Damascus. The Lord said, "Now I want you to go on to Damascus." He left him blind. He said, "I want you to go to Damascus." And he said, "When you get there," he said, "there's going to be somebody that's going to come to you, and he's going to tell you what you need to do." And so they lead Saul of Tarsus, this persecutor of the church, they lead him over to Damascus. And lo and behold, the Lord comes and speaks to a believer by the name of Ananias. And he says, "Ananias," he said, "I want you to go over to a street called Straight, and there's a man there by the name of Saul of Tarsus. I want you to go to him." And when he does, oh, Ananias, he says, "Lord, I don't know about this thing." I'm paraphrasing, of course. He says, "I understand he's here to kill folks like me." And the Lord says, "You go on to him. I've saved him. He's a different man." Amen? And so Ananias, he goes over there, and he goes to Saul of Tarsus, and here's what he says to him. There he comes unto Saul of Tarsus, and he says, "Brother Saul." You get that? Brother Saul. Here's a man that a few hours before was killing people like Ananias. He was a child of the devil, though a very religious man. Now he's been born again in the family of God. He's a child of God. And as a child of God, now he's the brother of Ananias. And so Ananias says, "Brother Saul." Now you say, "Well, that's no big deal, is it?" Oh, yes. Yes. To be able to be called a brother, a legitimate brother in the family of God, that's a wonderful thing. In fact, as I thought about that, I thought about this. Years later, old Saul of Tarsus, then he was known as the Apostle Paul. But here he is, he's given his testimony well over 10 years later. And as he's given his testimony, here's what he says. He's saved in Acts 9. Over 10 years later, in Acts chapter 22, he's given his testimony. And he says this. This hit me this week. I've never really noticed it in a unique way before. But here's what he says. He says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul." Isn't that something? He brought that Ananias. This is what he said to me. First thing he said, "Brother Saul." I think that just got a hold of that old boy's heart. Here he is, been a killer of Christians, and now a Christian comes to him and says, "You're my brother." And over 10 years later, Paul is telling folks, "You know what? First Christian that encountered me after I got saved, first thing he said to me was this, brother." You know why? He's been born into a new family. He's been born into a new family. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I thought about a little boy. The boy's name was Tommy. And he rode my bus whenever I lived in Alexander City. I was an assistant pastor there for a few years. And he rode my bus to church. He came from a well-to-do family. But the way we got in contact with him is we had a school. And the little boy and his little sister to our school. And so as a result of that, we had contact with the family. Family never came to church, just sent the children to church on the bus. One day, the boy's daddy, as I said, he was a very respected man. He was an officer, I think he was a president, vice president, something like that, of a local bank. One day, he came by the preacher's office, and he poured his heart out. Turns out that there he was living in this big, beautiful home, had all the fine things of life. Just seemed to have the perfect life. But he came to the pastor, and he just poured his heart out, and he basically said, "Our lives are a mess." That's the way a lot of people are today. They're putting on the front. Our lives are a mess. And the preacher had the privilege of leading that man to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next Sunday, I went by to pick up those children. And I will never forget, little old Tommy got on the bus. His daddy's name was Paul. Little Tommy was getting on the bus. And I said, "Tommy, is Paul coming to church this morning?" Because he had promised to come and make his salvation public, which everybody ought to do when they get saved. I said, "Is Paul coming to church this morning?" And here's what little Tommy said to him, a little boy probably about the second grade. He said, "It's Brother Paul now." It's Brother Paul now. Yeah, boy, he was rejoicing the fact that his daddy had been born into a new family. Amen. Oh, don't you like that when you say brother? Amen. People say, oh, that's kind of old-fashioned. No, 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 that's a wonderful thing to be called brother. I want you to understand the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way into a new spiritual family. He's the only way to the Father. Second thing I want you to get is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He said, I am the way, He was saying He is the way to a better eternal destination. The way to a better eternal destination. Now, every man in his natural state is a child of the devil, and every man in his natural state is also deserving of hell and headed for hell. Now notice, I didn't just say he's headed for hell, he's deserving of hell. He's deserving of hell. People oftentimes, they'll ask me, they say, how are you doing? And I'll say, better than anybody deserves. And they'll say, oh, wow, you must be doing good. And what it does is it opens up the door of opportunity for me to try to talk to them about the Lord. And I'll say, listen, all I deserve is to burn in hell. And that's all anybody deserves. But you know what? I'm going to heaven. I'm not burning in hell. So I'm doing better than anybody deserves because all we deserve is to go to hell. And oftentimes it'll open the door for me to tell them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what I'm getting at here? That's all any of us deserve. That's all any of us deserve. I remember witnessing to a young man one time, a grown man actually, and I was going through the plan of salvation. And the plan of salvation, I was getting to where the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And I was explaining to him how that means separation from God. And I said, that's what we deserve. That's our wages. Listen, if God cast us into hell, He's just given us what we've earned. And I was explaining this to the young man. He had already admitted that he was a sinner. And as I was explaining to him, his mother interrupted me. She said, whoa! She said, I want you to understand something. I know my son's not perfect, but he's not that bad. He doesn't deserve to go to hell. She was wrong. She was wrong. That's all any of us deserve, is to just die and go to hell. Because we have offended a thrice holy God. And that's all we deserve. But that's where we're going in our natural state. But you know, here's a wonderful thing. And listen, you need to be careful. You say, I don't think I'm that bad. You know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 3? It says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. If you don't think you deserve to go in hell, you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You need to wise up. But listen, the Lord doesn't want us to go to hell. If you go to hell, you go against the perfect will of God. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Lord Jesus is telling us that He is the way to a better eternal destination, to a better eternal home. And the house of our Heavenly Father is far better eternal destination than hell could ever be. Far better. In fact, look at how the Lord describes this eternal destination in John chapter 14 again. Look back at our text. The first three verses, He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is our eternal destination that has been born in the family of God. It's the Father's house, many mansions. And the Lord Jesus told His disciples this. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now I often think about this. The Lord Jesus spoke everything into being in 6 days. What the Bible says. Spoke it into being in 6 days. Did not take billions of years of evolution. Just spoke it into existence in 6 days. Now for 2,000 years, He's been preparing a place for me. Now if He spoke all this into existence in 6 days, what in the world have I got waiting on me up yonder? Amen. What in the world have I got waiting on me? Oh my goodness alive. You know, down here, we get flattered with a little bit of gold. Let a man put a gold chain around his neck, or a woman put some gold earrings or something. Whoa, my goodness, how wonderful that is. You don't realize what gold is in heaven. It's asphalt. That's all it is. You went to heaven, you had a bag of gold across your shoulder. And so I said, what have you got in that bag? He said, well, let me show you. And they opened up and say, oh, that's asphalt. Because we walk on the street of gold up there, amen. No, listen, we got a wonderful, wonderful place to go to. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians, he's talking to the Philippians and he says this. He's in prison when he writes, and he says, you know, and I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time, he says something like this. He says, you know, he says, I'm not sure right now if I'm going to get out of this prison or not. And he ends up, he did get out of that prison. Later on, he went back to prison and was beheaded. This is the first time he went to, was in prison in Rome. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. We call that in the South between a rock and a hard place. He said, here's my dilemma. He says, I believe the Lord may want me to stay here because you may need me a little longer. He said, but if they'd go ahead and take my life, well, I'd go to be with Christ. And then he says this, which is, he didn't just say a little better, he said, which is far better. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Which is far better. Let me tell you something. The home we've got as Christians, it is far better than anything you'll ever have here on this earth. And it is far, 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 a thousand times far better than hell, which is where you go without Jesus Christ. Now, how can you get there? How can you get to this, a different eternal destination? Well, look at verses 5 and 6. He says in verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, after the Lord's talked about heaven, he says, Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I'm the way, Thomas. It's me. That's the only way you're going to get there. I want you to understand something. All roads do not lead to Rome. And all religions do not need to lead to heaven. There's only one person that leads to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. Him and Him alone. So when the Lord said, I am the way, He's saying, I am the way into a better spiritual family. I am the way to a better eternal destination. But He also is saying, I am the way to a better present life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. The life. Back in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus said this, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Did you get that? They might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Now I want you to understand something. The abundant life is not necessarily a life of abundance. That's what most people think. The abundant life is a life of abundance. The truth of the matter is, abundance may prevent you from enjoying life abundantly. If you get so caught up in material things that that's all you can think about, you have no time for God. And I run into people like that all the time. Why don't you go to church? Well, I tell you what, I just got to get, I got to make this, I got to do this, that, and the other. Well, you're not going to, you don't know what the abundant life's about. You're thinking of abundance is the abundant life. No. No, you get so many material things, so much of abundance of things, that all you can do is spend all your time working on those and maintaining those things. Well, you don't have the abundant life. No, the abundance may actually prevent you from enjoying life abundantly. I know some people, anytime you get around them, talk to them. You can't talk to them about anything much other than making money. That dominates their thought life. No. That you got a life of abundance, but that is not life abundantly. That is not it at all. And yet that's where so many people are trapped. They think that's what it's all about. Now, if I told you that by repenting of your sin and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, all your problems would be over, and that's what some people preach to you today, I want to tell you something. I would be a liar, and anybody that tells you that's a liar. When you accept Christ as your Savior, all your problems are not suddenly just over with. I want you to understand something. Life is rough for everybody. For some people, it's rougher than for others. And many times, it's because of your decisions which you've made in leaving God out of them. And that just makes your life get worse and worse. But life is rough for everybody. It matters not who you are. But I can tell you this without any reservation. Based upon the Word of God first and foremost, and secondly, by personal experience, I can say without any reservation that life in Christ is far better than life outside of Him. And it gets better and better and better, whereas life outside of Him gets worse and worse and worse. Now, I want you to listen to a couple of verses of Scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Here's what the Bible says. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's the life of the child of God that puts the Lord first in his life. It just gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. I'll have been saved 50 years in just a few months. And I can tell you this, it's not been easy. It's not been easy. I've had my trials. It's cost me a lot of material things, more than most people would ever realize. I have people tell me sometimes, they say, well, you know, you just got to make a living. I can remember one time when I walked away from a job because I was asked to do some things that I felt was wrong. And my wife said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to trust God. Hey, I'm still here and she's still here. Amen. We're still here. Just put the Lord first. Just put the Lord first. And it's gotten better and better and better and better and better. And then one day, I'm going to die or be caught up in the rapture, one or the other. Either way, I'll be immediately in the presence of the Lord. And boy, it's going to really get good then. But now listen to the very next verse. Here it is. It says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. Then it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Listen, my friend, you've been trying to work it out on your own. Do it your way. Lead God out. Has it gotten better? Has it gotten better? No. You say, it just seemed like every time that I got it all worked out that I stumble. What the Bible says. I don't understand it. You don't know what you're stumbling at. I tell you what you're stumbling at. You're stumbling at leaving God out of your life. You're stumbling at leaving the Lord out of your life. No, sirree. The Lord's saying, I am the way to the best life on the face of this earth, the very best life. Now, some of the things about life in Christ that are better than life outside of Christ, and the list could go on and on. I just jotted down a few that came to my mind quickly. One is life without fear of eternity. I don't worry about life after death. I don't worry about that because I know it's going to get better. In fact, far better. Another is life without fear of death. I don't fear dying. I don't fear dying. I like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:55. He said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I'm going to tell you what, death put its sting in my Savior. And therefore, it's not left in me. Amen? Go in me. I don't worry about that. No, sirree. I understand Christians all worried about dying. All worried about dying. What's the big deal? You're going to go to heaven. Life in Christ is life without need of worrying. A lot of people worry that profess to know the Lord, but it's foolish to worry. But it's without need of worry. I like the old song, I care not today what the morrow may bring. If shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. All your worry is vain as a child of God. Life is better with the Lord because it's life with fellowship with the Lord. Being able to honestly have fellowship with the Lord. Not just a relationship with Him, but fellowship with Him. Enjoy His presence. To know what it means to have the Lord walk with you and talk with you. To know what it is to sit down and read the Bible. And it's the living Word of God. And it speaks to your heart. It's not just a cold academic book of religion. But it speaks to your heart to whenever you pray that you enjoy the presence of God. Listen, that's a wonderful thing about the Christian life. It is life with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. For when a man accepts the Lord as his Savior, the Spirit of God immediately takes up residence in him. And there the Spirit of God is leading him and guiding him and teaching him. It's comforting him. It is life with the leadership of the Lord. I don't stumble around in life. The Lord just leads me step by step, day by day, leading me. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 says this, and thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Otherwise, I start straying off to the left, and the Spirit of God, I just hear this little voice. It's not an audible voice. I call it speaking in the ears of my heart. But I hear this little unction, and it says, You're veering off there, need to get back. And then I start veering over here, and it's like, need to come back over here. And the Lord's just leading me and guiding me day by day. And it's amazing how things just fall into place when you got the God's leader. It's life with peace. Even in the middle of the storms, it's life, a life with peace. Isaiah said this twice, chapter 48, verse 22, chapter 57, verse 21. He said this, There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. You outside of Christ, there's no peace. Your life's filled with turmoil, like the raging waves of the sea. That's your life. But no, there is a serenity that we have as children of God that the world does not know. Now, all these things I mentioned, these are things that money cannot buy. Not one of them can money buy. That's why I say that the abundant life is not necessarily a life of abundance. It's a life with things that no amount of money can ever buy. Now, some folks, perhaps some of you right here, you're so pitiful, you really are. You've been out of the way. That is out of the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of Christ. And that therefore you're living in fear, fear of dying, fear of judgment, fear of eternity. I've been there. That's a miserable life. You're living in misery, slowly self-destructing, destroying people who love you, destroying your relationship with those around you. You're living in bondage to your sinful habits, bondage to the cravings of your flesh. You're enslaved to those things. You don't want to admit it, but you are. Listen, that is a pitiful, pitiful way to live. The answer is what? It is not a what. The answer is a who. And the who is what is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I beg you this morning, for first of all, for the glory of God, but secondly, for the sake of your own self, to repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say to Him, I realize that You are the way. I've been walking in my way. I've been walking in other ways. I've been walking the ways my peers want me to walk in. But from now on, Lord, hey, I'm coming to You. I'm repenting of my sin. And I'm turning my life over to You. I'm accepting You as my Savior. You are now my way. I believe You alone are my way to the Father. You alone are my way from hell to heaven. You alone are my way to a life of an abundant life. You are the way. And by the grace of God, I'm going to walk in You the rest of my life. That is the great need that you have. That's the great need we all have. May God help us. Let's stand.